Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. I'm Mike Haas, along with Bobby Hebert and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Coach Moore, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, obviously, the script is the script. Whether it's been similar in four games, it kind of is what it is. 1-5 could not get those stackable wins. We have Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator, on a little later, so we'll have obviously plenty of time to talk offense. I wanted to kind of start with defense and really just kind of the inability to not fall behind with, you know, opposing offenses scoring touchdowns on their first two drives in the last four games. I know if you had the answer, you'd implore it, but, man, that's tough when you're fighting uphill from the beginning.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for that we need to grow in. And so, you know, we're not starting games fast enough, and it's not every play. It's those critical big moment plays. And so, you know, this past game was similar. Really good run stop on play one, play two, put them in third and nine, really favorable situation. And they convert on a big time third down. And then, you know, right after that, they're hitting the bomb for a touchdown. And so, you know, we got to take advantage of these opportunities that are ahead of ourselves. We got to play better early. And so there's some growth opportunities for sure for us.
You know, Coach Moore, I don't know if I've ever seen that. I don't think you have either, probably as a player or as a coach. Four straight games, the defense, you give up back-to-back touchdowns in the opening series. I mean, come on, you're playing catch-up. And you being an offensive coach, I know you talked to Coach Daly about this. And, you know, you want to get off to a fast start offensively, obviously set the tone. You would think usually you'd be talking about the offense, but the defense has to get off to faster starts. What do you tell Coach Daly? Because that's a ridiculous number. First quarter, I scored 65-16. I mean, the NFL is too good to fall behind like that from the get-go.
Yeah, we got to play cleaner. We got to execute at a higher level. We got to give ourselves a cleaner opportunity there to compete in the first quarter. And so, you know, again, it's those critical downs. I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to third downs. You got to get off the field early in games. You got to play clean football and give yourself a chance. And so it's certainly something that we have to navigate and get better at.
You know, Coach Moore, how do you, when you evaluate this, because I always look at the measuring stick, like 65 offensive plays, give or take, but more, you know, really rolling if you have more than 65 plays, and, you know, and say, well, we only ran 23 rushing plays, but we only had 51 offensive snaps. Is that part of really not being good on third down, that we were not able to have more offensive snaps? And we bounced back last game against the Giants, but that's been more where we cannot hover around low 30s, like 3 of 9 on third down. No, that you're not going to control the ebb and flow and the tempo of the game if you don't convert on third down.
Yeah, it's playing complementary football. I think, you know, for us, you know, like you said, you got to get above 65. When you're around 70 snaps, that means you're controlling the game and it, being able to influence it in many ways. And so, you know, we got to be better on third downs to extend drives. We had a two-play drive that ended in a turnover, and so that's a critical challenge for us late in the game that gives them another possession. And so we got to play cleaner football.
Coach, it's always easy to look backwards, of course. I'm just curious, was there discussion 3:55 in that fourth quarter, you know, to go for it on fourth? I mean, it is what it is, but to punt it away. You had all three timeouts. I'm just, you know, was there discussion?
Yeah, we talked through it. There was obviously a discussion there. Felt like, you know, you have the 2-minute warning and three timeouts. You know, you can give up a first down and still get the ball back. And so there was a few opportunities for us to make a stop there and get it back. And so we just weren't able to do it.
Now, Kellen, how do you, I mean, like, finish games? When you look at it, you within one score, with all your experience as a player and a coach, and I'm looking at, you know, Rattler, what he's saying, it's right on. that we have to find a way to win these games because a lot of NFL games come down to one-score games. And the Saints, we've been so close in games, but so far it was our third loss by 7 points or less. I mean, I think this is a true statement. Well, it's a fine line. It's a difference between being 1-5 or 4-2. I mean, but you got to finish. It's amazing how you feel about yourself if you were 4-2 right now instead of 1-5. But you can't be so close and so far. But so far, you know, it's not, you know, you're not just competing. It's a matter that you win or lose the game. You know, you don't get brownie points. Oh, we were close. But it's amazing how it's not that far off, not even counting the Seattle game. But a difference how you feel about yourself if you were 4-2 versus where we're at right now, 1-5.
Yeah, these games come down to the small margins. That's what the NFL is, like you're saying. A lot of one-possession games, a lot of, you know, the big plays can happen from play one all the way through the fourth quarter. You don't know which plays they are, and so we got to take advantage of each and every opportunity. The turnover ratio is a huge factor. We got to create some turnovers. We got to play better in the red zone, convert those drives into touchdowns. You know, can't beat ourselves in those situations, and we got to execute in situational football.
Kellen, I know when you get with Coach Staley and all that, to me, the damn quarterbacks are way too comfortable. I know you can't hit them anymore like you used to be able to, but to influence the quarterback, you look at rush lanes, the rush discipline and all that, and I want to say this might have been before the Giants game. We were giving up the, like, 1,001, 1,002, almost 3.5 seconds without having to trick the protection maybe. You know, you're doing a stunt. You bring in five or more. But where can we get? And I know Coach Staley's going to challenge Chase Young. You got to be our dominant player and influence the opposing quarterback, and we got to get him down. So what do you do when you get with Coach Staley? How we can influence the opposing quarterback to have more of an impact? Because I know Drake May's awesome. But he was not rattled at all playing against us yesterday. Maybe more in the second half. And we made adjustments at halftime, but how can we do that from the get-go?
Yeah, I think it's a healthy conversation for all of us. We got to be better there. I think it starts with, you know, us just looking at ourselves, you know, from an individual standpoint, how can we improve? From a matchup standpoint, how can we create the best possible matchups? And then schematically, how can we keep stressing the opponent? And so we got to stress them with our structures, with our fronts, with our pressure plan. We got to create more havoc.
Coach, I was wondering just your thoughts on Chase's return. The one tackle, but he's much more of a disruptor. I think he had three pressures, three hurries, and as Bobby said, you want to get him down, but Chase's return and your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought it was great to have him out there. He played a little over 30 snaps. Certainly there were some positives that came out of that. He was able to create some pressure, and now it's just about our group collectively just finishing and creating those big negative plays from a defense perspective, the sacks, the turnovers, all that stuff.
Need to take a break. We'll be back after this. You're listening to The Visit Pensacola Saints. Coach, your show, Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is The Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Hoss, along with Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Coach, because of the Valus Jones on the practice squad, you had Mason Tipton returning kicks, and you're looking for any kind of spark whatsoever. And I get what I'm about to ask, and that Rashid Shaheed, you know, since the 40-yard punt return at Seattle, it really hasn't had any opportunities. He had one return week four. One return yesterday, everything else, you know, just two other fair catches. Really just hadn't had the opportunity. Is there any thought process? You don't want to get him hurt, but to maybe putting him back there returning kicks.
Yeah, certainly he trains and has the ability to do that. I think, you know, it's from game to game, situation to situation, as far as if the opportunity presents itself. Obviously, he's got a good size role on offense perspective. He's always the punt returner. And so certainly something we've talked about as we go through this, and so we'll see how it goes.
Now, you know, Coach Moore, what was – because I think we got to run the ball better, and it has to be every game. I mean, I'm not saying we got to have a Carolina kind of game like they had against Dallas, where they were gashing them. But I'm looking. We averaged 3.2. Now, you know, good balance, passing and running, but only 3.2 average. And what's up with offensive line? I mean, I think we got to run the ball better. Alvin averaged 3.1. Kendra Miller 2.6. So what's your take on our running game? How can we get better and be more efficient in the running game?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you know, run game takes all 11. It takes every single person a part of it. You know, O-line obviously gets acknowledged a lot from a run game perspective. You know, those guys got to keep grinding, keep getting better, which they will. Perimeter needs to block at a really high level to create those explosives. You know, when you look at the runs and there's a bunch of 4, 6, 7s, you know, the explosives, the big time runs come off of a broken tackle a lot of times, but also perimeter blocking and creating those big time opportunities. And so we got to find a couple of those.
Now, Coach Moore, going back to special teams, and Hoss had mentioned the return game, but I'm looking at Blake Groupie. Good to see him bounce back. 4 for 4. Obviously, we want him to continue to kick at that level where if we count on him to make it, he makes the kick. But then you want touchdowns, preferably. But he was perfect, making all 4 field goals, 34, 48, 38, and 54 yards. And obviously, you want touchdowns instead. But I was kind of – now, nobody punted until the latter part of the third quarter. But I'm looking at Kroger. I mean, to me, I don't like that. That's unacceptable. Net, always looking net punting average, 32 yards. And they were 41. That's basically one first down and flipping the field position. Instead of 32, that needs to be 42. So what – when you're looking at maybe – you're not directly coaching Kroger, but – when you do have an opportunity to punt, you can't shank it. It's the NFL. You have to kick a quality punt.
Yeah, we missed an opportunity in a going-in situation. We had a chance to pin them, and we just missed the opportunity, obviously, as simple as that. You know, guys have had a bunch of good punts for us, but we missed that one. And so, you know, it was a 23-yarder and did not get them pinned into the red zone in the backed-up situation. And you know, I think the second kick, we didn't, you know, have some success as far as flipping the field. Our coverage unit did a good job on that play, you know, where he had the 47-yarder, but, you know, got them back into the 21-yard line. But, you know, the missed op obviously was the one that chanced to pin him in the backed-up situation.
Coach, talk about the play of, you know, some of the linebackers who had not been really playing any defensive snaps, mostly special teams, rookie Danny Stutzman. He and Isaiah Stalber both had a few snaps in week 3 because of week 3. But talk about the decision to kind of get those guys in more on defense. Stalber with 4 tackles. Stutzman had 6 defensive snaps.
Yeah, Stalber has earned some different roles in our game planning as far as some pass rush situations, some third down, you know, passing situational calls. And so he's been able to contribute, you know, on a few occasions this year. And Danny, it was just a matter of just getting him some snaps. Like you said, outside of the Seattle game, he just hasn't played. And so obviously we like his growth, his development. I think it's important to continue to get the young guys, you know, some valuable NFL snaps at the same time. You know, he's able to steal a couple of possessions. Then we were able to get Pete back in there, get him rocking and rolling again. And so I think it was a healthy little balance for us.
You know, Coach Moore, I mean, I thought, you know, you can the NFL will humble you. You know, all of a sudden you look how young DB's getting great opportunities, and then you're outstanding. Look at Kool-Aid gets a couple of picks against the Giants. But you look, I thought the Patriots definitely exploited our young secondary. And, you know, you want them to have sustained drives, bend but don't break. But, again, I know you couldn't be pleased with this, and obviously Coach Staley wasn't. They go 4 plays, 65 yards, touchdown. And then they go 6 plays, 69 yards, a touchdown. The chunk plays, to say the least. We want that, but we don't want to be giving that up. So what do you tell, like, a young DB? Hey, this is the NFL. It's going to be a challenge. It could be a challenge against the Chicago Bears. We're going on the road. Look at air receivers. And then we got to contain the quarterback and all that. So how do you encourage, like, a young DB to keep their confidence? Because it's going to be like this week in and week out, and what you're going to be challenged by.
Yeah, playing defensive back in the NFL is about resiliency and the ability to play well, have a mistake, overcome it, be right in position, and a player makes a play, and then be able to respond. And so that's part of the job description for those guys. They got to be really resilient players. And so is there technique, is there fundamentals, is there scheme work that those guys can continue to grow in to get better? Absolutely. But, you know, they're going to continue to grow, and we have a lot of confidence in those guys getting better moving forward.
Coach, talk about the flip side of that, as Bobby talked about the explosives, because it's like you kind of don't want to put so much emphasis on it that it becomes a thing, like a mental thing. But Olave with the 53-yarder out of the gate, but then Alvin had just the 22-yarder, then Brandon Cooks a 21-yarder. How do you, you know, with Rattler, you know, his best of the year, 77%, most yards, 227, best yards per catch, 8.7, but you're just not getting the explosive. How do you increase that?
Yeah, I think we did take a few more from a design standpoint to try and create more opportunities. We missed a couple as far as, we had some protection stuff come up, or, you know, maybe just didn't time up the right way. We're aggressively trying to get more while still making really good decisions. And I think, you know, the run game from that perspective, it's going to take all 11 to create those explosive opportunities in the run game. In the pass game, we just keep dialing it and keep giving ourselves looks and opportunities, and they'll come our way.
Need to take another break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coach Show. Mike Cost, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coach Show. And now moving on to next week, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service. That would be Chicago. Chicago is the second game of the Monday night broadcast tonight. So, I mean, I know you'll watch. Do you guys watch as a staff? Do you watch at home? How do you watch Monday Night Football when it's your next opponent?
Yeah, we'll be doing our work like we normally would on a Monday. And obviously, you know, this usually happens a couple times a year where you'll be playing an opponent who's playing on Monday night. You'll have it on the other TV and kind of keep an eye on it as you're putting together the plan.
You know, Kellen, to me, I don't care. You could be playing in the Dome or you're playing on the road. I know we don't want to be minus one. Internal margin. You know, that was a big game against the Giants. Now, you're never going to get like five straight takeaways, but we were plus five amongst the best in the league. And you look at New England, all of a sudden, they felt good about themselves. They were plus one. So now we're plus four for the season. I can tell you right now, we're not beating the Bears if we're minus one. Now, we might luck out, but I know it gives us a great chance if we're plus one or plus two to go on the road at Chicago. If just that simple thing. Is the turnover margin, the parity in the league, just by doing that. Ken, Spencer Rattler is doing an outstanding job. Overall, we're not turning the ball over. But we got to take it away more, like we did against the Giants. I'm not saying you have four or five takeaways. But somehow, can we be plus one or plus two? That's always a winning formula.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to take the football away. We got to aggressively attack it. We got to play fast and physical. And so, you know, we got to find the formula that creates that opportunities.
Now, you know, Kellen, when you look at like Spencer Rattler, and you know, a lot of Saints fans, they were like telling me, and I'm gonna be objective. Spencer Rattler to me has been outstanding. What he's been able to do, and they were saying, Spencer Rattler is on the same level as Drake May. Now, you're not gonna answer this, but I'm gonna say, okay, slow your roll. Okay. Drake May, to me, has been really special. And he had a perfect quarterback rating in the first half. Now we changed the ebb and flow of the second half, but he still threw a dime at the end. You know, that was the difference, that they're able to possess the ball. But the point or the question I'm asking you, Spencer Rattler is playing winning football. I think you would agree with that. And obviously, can you be a difference maker? But it is a team sport. It's like golf or tennis. Spencer Rattler is playing well enough, like, I don't know, undefeated, but instead of only having one win, we could be a 4-2 type team if we help out the supporting cast with Spencer Rattler. And I think he's playing with a lot of swagger and confidence right now. And look, he was 20 of 26. Come on, our stud receivers, how about you catch the ball when you have an opportunity? Because you paid to catch the ball. Like whether it's Chris Olave, Juwan Johnson, whoever it might be. So the question I have for you, you might say, well, what about the quarterback we drafted? All I know is only one can play at a time. Spencer Rattler is playing winning football, so why would we go in a different direction and just put Chuck in there, even though we've invested in him for the future? Spencer Rattler is a legit NFL starter, what I've witnessed so far this year.
I think Spencer's getting better each and every week, and I've really enjoyed working with him. I love the progression that he's taking. I think he's protecting the football while still making plays, and that's a balancing act that all quarterbacks have to battle in this league, and so for him to be doing that, I think speaks well for himself. And so, we just got to keep growing. We've got to keep getting better collectively as an offense. We got to take advantage of this situational football. I think we're having too much good that's not getting, seen just because we're not finishing these drives and we're not taking advantage of third downs and red zone. And so, there's growth opportunities there, but I do think we're playing some football that deserves the opportunity to win some of these games.
So, Coach, Bobby talked about the turnover battle and a tough one with Chicago. They've had four turnovers defensively in their last two games. You've played six games. They're just playing their fifth. They've already had a bye. It's the Dennis Allen defensive coordinator, his defense. You went against him last year in week three. Is there any value in that? Do you know kind of what he likes to do as a coordinator, what he wants to do defensively?
Yeah, I feel like we played New Orleans everywhere I went for a number of years, and so I feel like we've always had these fun games going against Dennis, and so obviously he's done a tremendous job on defense for a long time, and they've created nine turnovers. They're fourth in the league. They're protecting the football. They've only given up four, and so they're putting themselves in a really good position to be successful as a team, and certainly that's going to have a huge factor on who wins this game.
Now, Coach Moore, what about the penalty situation? That seems like, the first three games we were averaging double-digit, over 10-plus penalties. And now I know you want less than eight, but you can have, depending on the officiating crew, they might be flag-happy. I mean, to me, when I look at it, what was that, the 19 penalties? That's way too much. I'd say it has to be 15 or less, but you got to call what you see. But some of them are a couple of bogus calls where they look instant replays to fumble and all that. But they call, because Saints fans will be like, oh, they cheated us, they cheated us. But I'll say, no, they went on offensive interference against Diggs. So what are you talking about? And I'm objective. So I look at where we had as far as penalties. You have to be pleased as of late. No, that was eight. Maybe you want more like four or five or none. But I think the team is getting your message more about the penalties cannot be negative against us to dictate the outcome of the game against us.
Yeah, so every game is going to be handled differently. That game had 19 penalties, right? So there's a lot of penalties thrown. It was quite the exercise. And so we had two pre-snaps. Those ones we can control. Those are the ones we got to hammer. We got to keep focusing on. We had a false start and one encroachment. And then there's going to be judgment ones. We know they're going to go both ways. We know we can review that game, and New England probably is frustrated with some. We're frustrated with some. That's what happens in games. And so we got to keep controlling what we can control, put ourselves in really favorable situations because of that, and then navigate the ones that come up.
Well, Coach, it doesn't get easier, right? Three of the next four on the road. You take them one at a time at Chicago. Best of luck this week. Get that W up there in Chicago, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Lots more coming your way here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. We will talk with Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. Bobby and I will when we come back. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Bobby and I are now talking with Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier, former Saints quarterback, now the OC. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So it's, it's frustrating. It is frustrating. We get it. I'm just curious, when you get down as the team has in the last four games, does it impact – I mean, you got your script, right? But, I mean, does it impact your play calling, or is it just – it's so early. If you're going to get down two scores, you know, it doesn't impact it as much because it is early.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it did in this case when you talk about this game. If you look at the game for us, possession-wise, we were moving the ball and scoring early. You know, first drive of the game, we don't field goal. We go field goal again. Then we go touchdown. Then we go field goal. So our first four drives are producing points. It's just we weren't finishing those drives with touchdowns. And that's where we got to be better. We got to coach better, and we've got to execute better. And didn't feel like we were having to chase the game. We didn't feel that way early and thought we were able to stay true to what we wanted to be.
Now, Doug, when you're talking about chasing points or how you're executing in the red zone. And to me, I'm looking at, coming into the game, now what exactly, a two-part question, what exactly do you describe as the red zone? You know, you say 20 on end, then you call it the go zone, green zone, whatever, 25 or 30 yard on end. But I know this is not acceptable as far as getting touchdowns. We were like 29th, which was right at 41%. I'm not saying you got to be like 100%, but that needs to be at least, I think, 65% as far as touchdown production. Now, two-part question. You and Coach Moore, what is the red zone for y'all? What do you consider that? Because I'm looking at it, it's pretty good. Almost when you look at the Saints compared to the previous game when we were 0-for, we were 1-for-2 in the red zone, but then you also failed to score a touchdown on two other trips against the Pats. 27 and 20 yard line, so not necessarily inside the 20, but we're able to get the touchdown with Taysom Hill. But what the question I have for you? What is your take or perception? What do you consider the red zone as far as when you're not having to settle for field goals? Is it like the 25 and on in, a 30 yard line on in, or how y'all look at that?
We break the red zone down from the 20 to the goal line, and that's standard. That's the NFL statistic. We use that because that gives you comparables, when you're looking as far as your averages against the league and those kind of things. And then outside of the 20, we have, an area called the gold zone that goes out to the 35, which is that 20 to 35 range. So, and the main reason for that is, as you all know, Bobby, play calling changes, and a little bit of that gold zone, that 35 to the 20, has even pushed further back just due to the leg strength of these kickers today and their ability to score points from 50-plus yards, those are the reasons. We're looking to break down tendencies in the coordinator and then what type of plays we want to run in those different areas of the field.
Now, Doug, when I look at, a quarterback's best friend is the running game, and you have to have receivers that you could trust. I know you play with receivers that you could count on throughout your career. I look at Mark Super Duper setting records with Dan Marino. I believe in Anthony Carter, AC, Eric Martin, Andre Rison, Bad Moon Rison. So I'm looking at that quarterback receiver combination, and I look at Rattler. I think at times Rattler's doing his part, but the receivers aren't coming up with the big catch. If you're going to be an alpha, you got to come up with the big catch. I'm looking, the Patriots receivers were able to be key and come up with the big catches. I think Chris Olave is getting the targets, but he needs to come up more with the big catches. Rashid Shaheed, explosive receiver. You look all those different combinations. So I should say the question I have for you, what fans have asked me? And he's been outstanding in our training camp and in the preseason. Why don't we give Mason Tipton more an opportunity? I know he knows his plays. He went to Yale. Come on. And then I look at Valet from the Broncos, a big receiver. He made his catch. Now, unfortunately, we had the penalty. But they at the point right now that we need to give maybe Tipton, if he's activated, because he ran kickoff returns, Tipton and Valet more opportunities in the passing game.
Well, I think that's fair. I think when you look at it, it's unfair to point you know, in one direction or one position group specifically. It's a combination of a lot of things, you know, and like you talked about, you got to be able to run the football down there. And when you look at our struggles, a lot of our struggles have been because we've had self-induced, you know, either penalties or lost yardage runs, whether it be we didn't do the best job of coaching things and we got a different look or things of that nature. So you're right. We're obviously looking at different ways to get different guys in position to make plays down there. And obviously, you know, another guy that can show up down there because of his size and his length and his athleticism is Juwan. So obviously every week we go in with work and we find matchups. Where do we think our best opportunities are to get guys in one-on-ones where they can create plays?
Is there something that you want to do or can do as a coordinator when in a play, call, you know, just overall yak yardage is down for this team? I mean, you can look at Chris Olave, but it's not just him. It's everywhere. Is that something you can go, okay, look, we're not creating the routes we need to provide them possibilities for yak yardage?
Sure. You know, and that's that falls on us as coaches. Like I said, it's, you know, our challenges to date have been group challenges. We've all taken our turn a little bit. And as coaches, obviously, we're looking at how do we get our guys in space? How do we create, like I said, matchups? How do we create opportunities to get guys open in space so that we can get the ball in their hands and let them go run with it? And we haven't been doing a good enough job of that, and we'll continue to work till we get it right.
Now, Doug, I can keep asking you Saints questions, but everyone's intrigued, you know, LSU fans are Saints fans and vice versa. How do you handle being the parent of the LSU starting quarterback? I mean, did you let your wife handle all that and you got enough responsibilities? I know as a parent you want to be encouraging, but and then obviously as a player you get beat up and you deal with injuries and all that. So how you've handled Garrett right now? Do you say something like, you know, because whenever I would kind of go to my mom, she'd go, if you're going to play football, you get beat up. I don't know, go talk to your dad. Don't tell me you hurt, but you can't go to your dad. I mean, so do you let your wife handle that and give Garrett tough love or what?
No, obviously, you know, I'm a father first, you know, and as we say, you know, it's faith, family, football in that order. And so I'm going to be a dad first and very proud of Garrett, very proud of their team and where they are right now. They got a great opportunity to do some great things. And, you know, obviously my wife, Christy, she's awesome. She's there all the time for him. And he and I talk all the time. So, you know, there's things we talk about, me just being a dad, him being a son. And then we do talk football a lot. And, you know, we have good interaction and it's football. It's coach talk to a guy that's a player and, you know, and he asks questions. We talk about things. So I'm very proud. We're very proud of him and very proud of the opportunity and really blessed that he's had the opportunity to be at LSU and be the quarterback at LSU.
So is it different? You know, obviously you're much, you know, you're in Philly last year, the ability to see him play, although they took that shot of you at the Clemson game and I'm going, ooh. And you were, it was the most intense look I've seen. In my head, I'm going, well, okay, so you're the OC, you're looking at the play, and then you're the quarterback, so you're living it through him as an offensive coordinator and as yourself as the quarterback. That's tough as a dad.
You know, it's really interesting when I go to games to watch both Garrett and my younger son, Colton, because you're so used to when you're in a stadium, you know, you're always on the sideline and I know the play calls and I know what's happening and what's coming and how it's supposed to go down. And now you're in an environment where you don't know the play calls. You don't know what's happening. You don't know, you know, how things are about to play out. So it's a very interesting dynamic. It's one I enjoy though. I love getting an opportunity to see the boys play. And like I said, we're just blessed that he has the opportunity to play there.
Now, Doug, how do you that quarterback room? I've been in those rooms with a number of different quarterbacks, and how you know, you got a all for one, one for all, and all that. How has Tyler Shough been as far as being supportive, maybe of Spencer Rattler? Because you know he wants to be the man. You don't play quarterback if you don't have an ego. Now, I always say when you have an opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity. But I think Spencer Rattler has been playing his ass off. I mean, we need more supporting cast, but obviously the investment we have in Tyler Shuck. So how do y'all come together? Because there's a lot of alphas, quarterbacks, part of the offensive staff. How do y'all handle that and keep that in perspective, going forward?
Well, I think that, first, Scotty Tolzien, our quarterback coach, has done a great job with the whole group. And, Taysom's in that room, too, and Jake Haner's in that room. So, there's a lot of guys in there that have played a lot of snaps. And, they've all been at whatever level. They've all had great success. And, obviously, we want to create competition. And they compete their butts off every day, both in the room and when we go out in the practice field. And they all understand, too, that whoever is the starter and whoever is going to be playing, we're all going to support them. And I commend Tyler, Jake, all those guys. The whole room has done a great job of supporting Spencer, and we won't have it any other way. But Tyler's invested in him, in himself and his process in getting better each day. He's also, on a day-to-day basis, helping Spencer be better. So it's been a great room.
Well, Coach Noss, we appreciate your time. As always, it doesn't get easy. You got Chicago tonight, which you'll watch on Monday night, man, and they have been turnover machines. They've got 8 turnovers in their last 2 games defensively. So big challenge ahead at Chicago, but you take them one at a time, and best of luck moving forward.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great night. Thanks for having me.
Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. Bobby, as always, my brother, I appreciate it. Thanks for everything.
All right, Hoss. All right, we got to get a win. Got to win in Chi-Town.
Wherever we go, wherever it is, no matter what it looks like, get that W. Thank you, Bobby Hebert. And we'll come back here. This is the Saints Coaches Show, the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. And we'll go back and we'll bring in Mike Dettillier, talk a little Monday Night Football, NFC South. That comes up next here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, as well as Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. And we go back out to the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike Dettillier, analyst, joins us. And we got 2 Monday Nighters already underway. And both are Saints fans would be interested in, because you got Buffalo in Atlanta, and then their next opponent, Chicago, just starting against Washington. And it's frustrating because the Saints want offensive explosiveness. Atlanta just ripped off an 81-yard run. They lead Buffalo 21-7. And on the first play of the game, Atlanta fumbles it. Buffalo recovers, but Buffalo's offsides. And so they go down and they score the touchdown. But, man, they right now, Buffalo's defense does not look too good.
They look like they did against the Saints. They were sorry. Man, I know Ryan Nielsen. He came to our Louisiana line camp, and he really was concerned about, could they stop the run? That was a concern for him. And also at safety, that if you broke off a big play or a fake pass and play, could we stop it? And I remember him at Lith getting me into it with me about, we got to figure out a better way to stop the run, and we can't give up the big play. We got to have better safety play. Mike, look, one big play after another. They run in the ball, and the safeties on the long pass, they ain't nowhere to be found. Exactly what Nielsen, really was concerned about, and I think it was more of a personnel issue because they had some turnover there. He said, man, one thing is, when you got Josh Allen, he can bear you out a lot of trouble. But we can't get into shootout games every week. Guess what? They in shootout games every week with that defense.
And they turned it over last week against New England. We'll see how the rest of the night plays out. Chicago's already had their open week as well. They're at Washington. They've only played 4 games. Man, they've got, it's Dennis Allen's defense, a lot of turnovers. We've talked about that. And what's worrisome when you look at Chicago, and again, it's a 4-game sample, so it's smaller, but on third down, they're almost 46% conversion rate offensively, and in the red zone, they're 63%. So those are the 2 areas that have hurt the Saints, and they're very good in those 2 areas.
Mike, when you look at it personnel, look at all the teams the Saints have played. Tell me another team offensively the Saints have played that have better talent in the receiving core. With DJ Moore, with Roma Dunsey, Luther Burden, they play a lot of 12 personnel. They got Cole Kmet and their first-round pick, Colston Loveland. That's not a lot of teams loaded down. Think about who the Saints have played. Do any of those teams, when you add everything up, have the personnel that would the Bears have at wide receiver and tight end?
No, I would agree. But again, I hadn't, you know, put in my bingo card of Demario Douglas catching a touchdown pass of, you know, 60 yards. So it's, you're right. I think, you know, when you just look at them, man, they've got some talent, and it's going to be a very, very tough job defensively for this Saints defense.
I think early on their problems were offensive line ridden because of the fact their center, who they got from Atlanta, and then Joe Tunney comes in from Kansas City, and Jonah Jackson comes in for the Rams. Okay, the meat and potatoes of your offensive line had never played together. Center, the two guards. And you got a young tackle playing too. There was a lot of false starts, a lot of movement. But I think the biggest improvement I see with this team is Caleb Williams in Ben Johnson's system has become a much more settled quarterback. It's not a lot of improvisation all the time. I mean, he did that in high school, did that at USC. This is the NFL. You can't. You can do a little of it, but I think he's more adept to stay in the pocket, find those receivers downfield, or get the ball out to the backs. And if you try to rush him off the edge, that's when he's dangerous and takes off running. But I think he's become a much more mature quarterback and a much more cerebral guy to read what he sees downfield and get it to those receivers. That's the biggest improvement I've seen with the Bears. The offensive line play the last couple of weeks have been better. But I can understand it when you got all those moving pieces at center and the two guards because you've never played it before. It's an interesting game because the Bears take a lot of risk on defense to try to get the big turnover or the big sack and to try to set up a shorter field for Caleb Williams. And we've seen improvement with Caleb, certainly from last year when he got, smashed, over 60 sacks in a season. And a lot of that was himself. Okay, he was trying to make plays, and he'd roll right up into pressure, right up into it, and you get sacked that way. It's an interesting game for the Saints. Short week, having to play against your old coach who knows a lot of the personnel on that team. But really, what Ben Johnson has done with the Bears and loading them up at wide receiver, tight end, they're a dangerous football team if they can piece it together late.
When you're 1-5, I mean, it doesn't, you know, you don't like to look too deep into the NFC South, but Carolina's won 3 of their last 4 right now. Atlanta is drilling Buffalo, but Tampa Bay, no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin, they got nobody, and they threw touchdown passes, did Baker, to Cameron Johnson, who not only makes his first touchdown of his career, it's his first reception of his career. And then Tez Johnson, not related, he also scores a touchdown on his 6th reception of the season. They, you know, there's some magic when you can kind of do. Now, San Fran beat up badly as well, don't get me wrong, but Tampa just finds a way with whoever they got because they got Baker.
I feel. Bang! He has been the difference maker. I told Bobby the story that when Tez makes the great catch in the end zone, he kind of just leaps out, catches it with his hands, scores, and man, the stadium starts with the chant of MVP, MVP. He thought it was for him. Yeah, the other guys on the team had to tell him, dude, they're not chanting that for you.
they barely know your name.
Yeah, they're chanting that for Baker. He laughed about it in the locker room. Crazy thing is, Tez Johnson came to one of our camps on the bayou when he was a junior in high school. You talk about a dude that could run. I mean, he had great quickness, real thin. I think his second number, no doubt at that time, was a 5. And I don't think it's gotten too much more than that now. But Baker Mayfield has made it work, and they still got a really good running game despite not having Bucky Irvin the last couple weeks.
Well, we will see. Lots of football still to play just through week 6. Thank you, my friend, Mike
Dettillier,
as well. Thanks to Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier, both at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And we talked about the road ahead at Chicago. And finally, a game in the division, home Tampa, then at the Rams and at Carolina does not get easy. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. We will see you next week right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.